Oh, lift your voice. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. It is great to have you again with us. Today, I just met Rick just a few minutes ago as we're broadcasting this, and I am excited for him to be able to tell his story. Rick, could you tell us a little bit about this organization that you're a part of? I'm not even going to attempt the name. I told you I would. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. But your organization is all around the care of creation, creation care. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and this organization? And yeah, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so Arosha is the name, A space R-O-C-H-A. It's a Portuguese name, and we got that name because it started in Portugal. So 40 years ago or so, there was a British minister and his wife who started a bird observatory in the south of Portugal as Christian mission. So that's the key thing. They went there to study birds as Christian mission. And Arosha means the rock in Portuguese. So there's a few different layers of meaning to that. Some of them you will guess at. So Arosha now has projects in about 20 countries around the world. And the Canadian sort of branch is based in South Surrey, though we have projects across Canada, actually. The vision and kind of goal of Arosha is for the transformation of people and places by showing God's love for all creation. One of the questions you asked in kind of our email exchange was, like, what do you dream for Arosha? I thought that was an interesting way to put it. I think one way to say it is Arosha dreams that all of God's creatures would thrive and flourish. I'd say that's one of our dreams. And I'd say a second dream we have is that God's church would embrace the care of creation as a key aspect of discipleship. Our understanding of the biblical story is that, you know, one way to summarize it is we're called to worship God, love people, and care for creation. And you really can't, as I understand the biblical story, you can't do one without the other two.
Right.
Not fully, at least. Not in the way that the biblical story calls us to. So we would love it. One of our dreams is for the Christian church everywhere to embrace the care of creation as a key aspect of Christian discipleship.
That's cool. I like that. So you have this organization. You mentioned it's in multiple countries.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things are you all about? What are these projects?
Yeah. I mean, it started with the birds, but it's birds, bugs, plants, air, water, soil, you know, all of the above. Like if it's alive and green or like relies on ecosystems, then that's what we do. Now it depends specifically on the particular area that we work. So where I'm at, for instance, there's the Tatalu or the Little Campbell watershed, and we work in that watershed. So among the things we focus on are fish. The Salish sucker is an endangered species that we look at, or the red-legged frogs, amphibians. But if you go around the world, it takes very many different forms. I have colleagues that work in urban London, England, like right next to Heathrow Airport. And I've got colleagues in Ghana that work in the Atiwa Forest, one of the places in the world that has the most endemic species anywhere. So species that exist there and nowhere else. So species conservation and habitat restoration, those would be two key elements of what we do. Kind of around that key core would be environmental education. So whether that's with school kids or with adults, or we have an internship program, these kinds of things. And then particularly here where I'm based in South Surrey, we also have a small scale sustainable agriculture component. And this is growing around the world as well. This is maybe like, I can get the other two parts, but how's that fit? And the fit there is that when it comes to human impact on the planet's biosphere, the single biggest impact is food. So the extent to which we can model a way to grow food that actually builds biodiversity, supports biodiversity, that's actually a conservation act. And then secondly, the obvious one is everybody eats. So, you know, my mom's not so interested in the Salish sucker or the red-legged frogs, but everybody eats. So this is an entry point into conservation for everyone.
Wow. When I went on your website, which I encourage you folks to do as you're checking this out, hit the website. You have a number of different, like, people, lots of people. Do you have volunteer opportunities? How might people, if they're interested, maybe get involved a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we have in Canada, we've got a center here in South Surrey. So I know you guys are on the island. So there's a body of water separating us, but come visit. I mean, the very first thing would be come visit. Like, that is the most important thing. But we realize that's not possible for everyone. We do have centers across the country. So there are other couple options. If you come, then there are definitely volunteer opportunities. We have a volunteer day every month. There's ways for people to come and stay for a few days or maybe a week. We have a guest house, for instance. And when people come, they typically get involved in one of our activities. So I've kind of sketched very, very briefly some of those possibilities. For those that can't come to visit, come for lunch, for instance, then there is some online possibilities. So we have a YouTube channel. There's a variety of videos and events, live, sometimes live events that happen. You get on our e-news, and you'll get tapped into or connect into to those opportunities. And we're trying to, especially during COVID, but even beyond that, trying to find ways to connect with people that can't get close to one of our centers. So the online space is good.
Yeah. So people are intrigued. You guys have a heart and a passion, a mission around this. How are you actively maybe getting involved with churches, or are there local, community organizations in the places that you're at? Do you interact with governments?
Yeah, we partner widely. So on the conservation work, for instance, here locally, we're partnered with the local Semiahmoo First Nation. We partner with the municipal governments that are within the watershed that we work, the Little Campbell Watershed. We partner with other nonprofits. We write grants to both government or private foundations. We partner with, for instance, a local outfit that works with the Surrey School District. So the partnerships are really wide and diverse. I've lost track of the first part of your question.
No, that you've done great. I just was trying to figure out, how do you, like, this is a big topic that
Yes.
you're
Oh, and
trying
you
to
asked
go.
about churches. Of course, you asked about churches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as it happens, I'm trying to get together a kind of webinar series targeted at people who want to engage their church with earthkeeping, with caring for creation. So it's meant to be a bit of a, hey, if you have that desire, what are some tips and tricks and maybe some equipping that we can do? So that's, you could look in our on our website and in our e-news for that. It's coming up in the next couple of weeks, actually.
Awesome. So we're sitting here, as you said, on the island. Maybe we're not quite ready to give up our jobs and move to South Surrey and join
No,
your
don't
team.
do that. Don't do
But
that. There's plenty
okay.
of creation to care for where you are.
Nice.
This isn't about everybody coming here. It's like trying to get people to care for creation where they are, where God has planted them.
So that's where I was going. We're here. What are some little things? What are some sort of entry-level things that we might be able to enter into that you would encourage a local community like ours?
Yeah, I mean, off the top, there's a couple of things. I mean, beyond the obvious of like explore the biblical story and how this fits into discipleship, like, okay, there's that. But in terms of like practical action, I'd actually say the very first thing is cultivate wonder. So it seems to me that so often we, as adults in particular, lose the childlike fascination with the natural world. My kids were young, like they just let them go and they'll go. Like there's no, it's just instinctual. We still have that. We just have to cultivate it. And it strikes me that when we do that, we have this kind of direct interaction, then we are far more likely to attend to the world around us, to the creatures with whom we share our neighborhood. When we attend to them, we might get to know them. When we get to know them, we might actually love them. When we love them, we'll actually care for them. So there's, I think cultivating wonder is actually not just a airy fairy. I actually think that's actually one of the first things we need to do. It also allows us to explore your interests. So like you might cultivate wonder in one direction and I might go in another. Secondly, I would say get involved locally. So there, wherever you are, there are going to be other people that care about the place. Like wherever you are, that place matters to all the other people that inhabit that place. Well, get to know them, partner with them. I dare say wherever you are, there will be a watershed group, or there will be a parks group, or there will be a hatchery group, or there will, you know, so on and so on. Show up, get to know them. Say, I care about this place too. Let's do a beach cleanup or whatever the case may be. Let's do a broom pull. Broom is a big issue. Yep. Scotch broom is a big issue in Saanich. So like, get involved with them. I think those are at least two. I could say a lot more, but those are at least two places to start.
Rick, this has been great. Yeah, we actually are a church that has tried to be involved in that way.
Perfect.
Has partnered, but we've got a ways to go. And
don't we all.
Just encourage everybody to hit the website again. It's going to be right there. Rick, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing your heart for God's creation, the world in which we live. Just love it. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Take care, everybody.
You believe in the importance of the air we breathe, of the natural space around you, the water we drink, homes for every creature.
Not just for you, but for all those around you and those who will come after you. You have an important role to play, not just in taking action for the planet today, but in healing it for the future.
Help us monitor at-risk species. Raise up the next generation who will restore the natural world. Connect more people to creation.
Because the more we experience, the more we love. The more we love, the more action we take. You are more important than you think.
Let's make an impact together.
To your announcements, Lindsay. This past week we had some very exciting news from our provincial health authorities. Yep. What's the dealio?
Yeah, it is exciting. Actually, I expect they already know this. You don't have to wear masks anymore. It's so great. And we don't have to when we gather. Not only that, but we don't have any capacity restrictions. So we're really excited about that. Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, if you need to wear a mask or you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, totally okay to do that, but it's not required, and that's lovely to see that part of your face.
Yeah, that will be interesting. The other thing, it's gonna make it a lot easier for to drink the coffee that we have here.
Yeah, coffee time.
Kim, you've also got an announcement about our fasting and prayer.
Yeah, so from Monday to Tuesday, we are gonna do a 24-hour fast, so starting at sundown on Monday evening around 7:30 p.m. We're gonna begin to fast, and throughout the day on Tuesday, we will continue that fast. We'll be sending out prompts on how you can pray. There's lots of information on our website on how you can do this if you have a family, or if you have dietary restrictions, or you're just unable to do the fast portion with us. But then we invite anybody to join us Tuesday evening as we end that fast in a time of prayer, singing, and breaking our fast with communion. And so that's gonna be a really awesome time. I invite you to pray about whether this is something that God is leading you to participate in.
Yeah, yeah, we'd love to have you. And just on that, if you can't fast, I mean, you mentioned that in there, but we still want you to come.
Yeah.
Like that's totally cool. I also would encourage you to sign up for this. The reason is Kim's putting together some resources just to help us, some prompts, some ideas, some things that we can be considering over that 24-hour period. It's going to be wonderful. Look forward to seeing you.
And finally, last announcement, the elusive AGM.
Yeah, you're right. It has been elusive. This has been a challenge for us, as you know, and we put out the announcement last week. It's this, and then all of a sudden we had to change it live. Listen, we've had to postpone it. Here's the deal. We've just been waiting for some documents that we don't have yet. And so we don't want to just rush through it. I'm just going to stop there, though. There's going to be more details to come as to when this is coming up. But just to know, AGM not happening March 29th.
Not yet. One day. Have a good week, guys.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Everybody's all coffeed up and ready to take on the first day of daylight savings. If you're able to, invite you to stand with us. So nice to see everyone and see the bottom half of everyone's, of most people's faces. And yeah, just recognize too that, just some folks have just kind of like different comfort levels and all that. And that's 100% cool. You know, let's all be patient and understanding with each other as well. But let's just begin with our land acknowledgement and call to worship. As we begin today, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are leading worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen peoples, and reading this call to worship based on Psalm 27. Father, we come together to contemplate your beauty and to study at your feet. Great King of Heaven, there is no one like you. Your presence is a quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway, far from the buzz of our busy world. We will find rest in you. You sustain and uplift us, and so in response we will bring an offering filled with songs of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, and hearts that seek you. In confidence, we search out your goodness. With courage, we wait on you, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, may it be so. Amen. Let's worship together.
Let your kingdom come here, let your will be done here in Jesus, there is no one greater, you alone our Savior, show the world your love. Heaven come down, King of Heaven come now, let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven come, King of Heaven rise up, who can stand against us, you are strong to say in your mighty heaven come. We are the children of your mercy, rescued for your glory. We cry, Jesus, set our hearts towards you. Every eye would see lifted high, sing, King of Heaven. King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to say in your mighty name, King of Heaven, come. Oh, 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 haven't come. Jesus, our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, I believe in you. I believe you rose again. Eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion. and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name. The Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe. That lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. And came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Sing it out. sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Father God, we thank you for that truth. Lord, you are our living hope. The grave has no claim on us. The cross is spoken. We are forgiven. God, we thank you for the freedom and the life that we have in you. We thank you for your presence here with us. God, I thank you that we are able to share that life, that hope, this living hope with those around us. God, I pray that we would be that. God, you would help us to do that well. Just reflect your love and your glory and your mercy and your goodness and your grace just to everyone around us, Lord. I pray that our hearts and our minds would just be open to receive your word today. God, that you would just continue this work of making us more like you, God. Help us to love each other well. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you can take a seat.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be back with you this morning. I want to thank the staff and others for covering over the last few weeks. Just a really quick health update on me. I'm doing much, much better than I was. I still have a few lingering symptoms, and probably the most troubling one is my energy is nowhere near where it needs to be. I'm just still struggling to find energy. So if you can be praying that my energy will return, that would be awesome. So thank you for your prayers these last few weeks. Really, really appreciate them and your notes of encouragement. Thank you for all of that. And it's just good to be back. And Shyla is in the back. And kids, if you want to go back there, she's waving her hands. And as she does that, I have a couple of family announcements I just want to share with you. First of all, I want to unpack a little bit more what Lindsay and Kim talked about our AGM that continually gets changed. And now we don't have a date. It's going to happen sometimes in April. The two big items on our AGM are, number one, approving our financial statements from last fiscal year, and number two, talking about purchasing the Centennial Park campus. And we need documents for both of those. And this year, we chose to audit our financial statements. We usually do a review, but this year, because we hadn't done an audit for several years, we want to be good stewards, so we decided to do an audit. And we still don't have the financials back from the auditor. There's no problem. It's just a delay in getting them back. As soon as we get those documents back, first of all, we'll release them to the church, and secondly, we'll set a date for the AGM. Likewise, our denomination, the fellowship, owns the Centennial Park campus, and they have offered it to us to purchase for the cost of the mortgage, which is $500,000. And so we have an opportunity to purchase that property for $500,000, which is way under what it's worth. And so we're creating a document that we can give the church to consider that, but we're waiting on a document to receive from our denomination. So we are waiting. As soon as these documents come in, we'll give everything to you, and we'll set our business meeting. So there you go. Now you know why it's being delayed. Secondly, yay, COVID restrictions are being lifted. That's a nice thing. And I just want to say a couple of things around that. Here at Saanich, there's no capacity limits left on our worship services. We can fill them up. And as this service fills up, we'll go back to two services. We'll be discussing that on Tuesday as a staff timing around that. But as the numbers increase in here, we will go back to two services. We'll just figure out when that'll be. And also, as Jay mentioned, if you want to wear a mask, absolutely, feel free to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, feel free not to wear a mask. We're accepting of masked and unmasked people, so you are welcome here. One more thing that's heavy on my heart, and I really want to encourage you to be praying for not only the war in Ukraine, but also for the Ukrainian church. I don't know if you've been following the story about the Ukrainian church, but in many, many cities, the Christians are not evacuating. They are staying in the city to care for the people that are left in the cities. They're opening their churches, and their churches are becoming places of sanctuary. And I read an article yesterday about this church, and these Christians were saying, I know the world says, the rest of the Christians in the world say all they can do is pray. And then these Christians in Ukraine said this. They said, we feel your prayers. We know you're praying. God is answering. So let's continue to pray for the war in Ukraine, that it will end and peace will come, and also for the Christians in Ukraine. All right, Lindsay's going to come and read scripture and then pray for us, and then I'll come up and share God's word.
Isn't it great to have him back? Yeah. We have started in this new year doing a gospel reading every Sunday during our service this morning. Our gospel reading is from Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. This is from Luke. Luke was recording the happenings of the church as it got started, and the comings and goings and the interaction with the people around them. And this is what we have. We pick it up, and Peter and John have been in prison, but they've now been released. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray together. We have sung this morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we want your kingdom to be revealed, to come, to become greater in the world in which we live, in the space in which we reside right now, in this room, in our homes, wherever we find ourselves. We pray that your Spirit would fill us, that you might have your way with us. And so, God, as we meet, might that be true? Might we recognize maybe the areas or places or spaces or attitudes or thoughts that are pushing back on you, that we might lay those aside. As we go through this season of Lent in anticipation of the celebration of Easter, might we discover these things that maybe are hindrances. So God, we pray that you'll just continue to persevere with us and show us your way. God, as Pastor Steve just shared with us, the story of the church in the Ukraine and their appreciation for the prayers. They sense it. They feel it. And so we lift the Christ followers of Ukraine to you, these churches, these men and women and families and children. God, lift them to you as they try to live out generosity and as they try to create places of refuge. And Lord, even the stories that I've heard as well from churches in Russia who have been providing resources for people in the Ukraine, what an amazing gift. God, would your glory be seen in the midst of the darkness that is over there? We would ask that this war would cease. God, for your glory and for the good of those people. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to what you are going to say and do in our midst today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, back in January, we started a series called Do It Again. And the big idea was, God, do it again. Create a move of you again. And I said back in January, we need revival. The church in North America needs revival. And as I've been watching and reading the happenings in the church in North America over the last few weeks, I'm convinced more than ever that the church needs revival. And just to remind you, here's the definition of revival that we are using for this series. We're saying that revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifest on earth as it is in heaven. And to remind you of something I've said several times and will say several times this morning as well, revival always starts with personal encounters with God. They start with a person or a small group of people who become flames from which a community of Christ followers are set on fire by the Holy Spirit. And when a community of Christ followers are set ablaze for God, they become a spark that sets the city ablaze. And I've said before, and I say again this morning, let's be that spark. Now, historically, there has never been a spiritual awakening that did not have prayer as its foundation. Prayer is a prerequisite to God working in powerful ways. You see it all through the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you see a church devoted to prayer. And as they prayed, God moved in powerful ways. The Holy Spirit was poured out. People were healed. Prisoners were set free. Demons were cast off. Thousands and thousands decided to follow Jesus. People received visions and signs and wonders occurred. Prayer is a prerequisite to God working in powerful ways. In 1857 in New York, Jeremy Lamphere began a prayer meeting with one other businessman. Soon they found 6,000 people were joining them for prayer. Revival followed, and in a 2-year period, 1 million people decided to follow Jesus. Prayer is a prerequisite to God working in powerful ways. Today, a common denominator everywhere Christianity is exploding is Christ followers are spending significant time in prayer. And I would suggest if we want God to do it again, if we want to see a great move of God, if we want to experience revival, we need to be people who pray. Because prayer is a prerequisite to God moving in mighty and powerful ways. And so this morning, I want us to look at a story about prayer from the book of Acts. And first, let me set the context. In Acts 3, Peter and John heal a disabled man in the name of Jesus. that gathered a crowd. And so Peter stood and he spoke, well, he really preached to the crowd. And Peter's preaching so annoyed the religious leaders that they arrested Peter and John and threw them in jail. The next day, the Sanhedrin, that were both the Senate and Supreme Court of the Jewish nation at the time, met in Jerusalem along with some elders and teachers of the law. They were people who were experts in interpretation of the law of Moses. And this group gathered and they brought Peter and John in and demanded that Peter and John tell them by what power or in whose name they healed the man. In other words, the leaders wanted to know under what authority they had healed the man. And it says in the Bible, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said this in response to their question. Now remember, Peter here is addressing the Jewish religious leaders, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the interpreters of the law. And in verse 9, of chapter 4, Peter stands and he says this, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to speak to the religious leaders like that. And listen to how the Sanhedrin responded. Verse 13, they say this, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus." These powerful and educated leaders knew they were dealing with uneducated blue-collar fishermen, and yet they were amazed at their boldness. And the leaders discussed, what are we going to do with these guys? And so they decided to command Peter and John to never speak or teach in the name of Jesus again. And look at how Peter and John replied, verse 19. "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now the leaders really didn't know what to do with them. They were telling the leaders, "We're not going to follow what you're saying." And it says in the Bible, all the people were praising God because of the healing. The leaders are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They don't know what to do. And so they threaten Peter and John again, and they let them go. And as soon as they're released, Peter and John go out, and they found the other Christ followers, and they told them what had happened. And in response to what they heard, the Christ followers immediately lifted their voices together in prayer to God. And that's the amazing prayer that Lindsay read for us. It's such a great prayer. And do you notice what they prayed for, what they asked God for? Look at verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. First of all, notice what they didn't pray for. They didn't pray that their circumstances would change. They didn't pray that they would be safe and comfortable. They didn't pray that their enemies would get thrown out of office. They didn't pray that they'd be delivered from oppression. They didn't pray for any of that. They prayed for boldness and power so they could go out and proclaim the name of Jesus. And then they also prayed, look at verse 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They also prayed for God's healing power to work through them, that they would be able to perform signs and wonders through the power and the authority of Jesus' name. They prayed that God would work through them in wonderful and mighty and powerful ways. Those early Christ followers had a strong desire to see God work and move in mighty ways. In fact, did you notice this? They prayed to keep doing the very things that got Peter and John in trouble in the first place. Their prayers were bold and risky. What about our prayers? When you think about it, what kind of prayers do we pray? I mean, if we're honest, if we're really honest, a lot of us don't pray bold, risky kingdom prayers like the early church. I mean, think back to the prayers you prayed recently. So many of our prayers focus on comfort, safety, health. God give me, God give us. But what if we started to pray like the early church? What if we started praying bold, risky kingdom prayers regularly? Jesus taught his disciples to pray for heaven to invade earth, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven invade earth. And you think about it, in heaven there's no sickness or broken relationships. There's no broken souls or demonic forces. There's no war or addictions. In heaven, there's no darkness. Do you see the gap? What there is in heaven and what there is on earth, there's a gap, obviously. Don't you want to see that gap closed? I do. Are we willing to pray bold, risky kingdom prayers that will close that gap? Are we willing to pray for heaven to invade earth? Are we willing to pray to see that gap closed? Because when you pray to see that gap closed, you know you're going to be used as part of the answer. Are we willing to pray bold, risky kingdom prayers? Are we willing to pray for a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit so we can go out like the early church and boldly proclaim the name of Jesus in word and action? Are we willing to pray for his hand to be stretched out to heal? Are we willing to pray for signs and wonders to happen? Are we willing to pray for the places to be shaken? Are we willing to pray for Jesus' name to be honored and glorified above everything else? That's what the early church prayed for. And look what happened, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God answered their prayer. Listen, prayer unleashes the power of God. When God's people pray, great things happen. I think we need to remember this. Our prayers are far more powerful than we realize. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer has the ability to unleash the mighty miracle-working power of God. Our world is shaken daily by the power and the prayers of Christ followers. As I've already mentioned, as we pray for the church in Ukraine, they feel our prayers. Prayers are being answered. Our prayers unleash the mighty miracle-working power of God. And that's why we need to be people who pray. We need to be people who pray. We need to be a church that prays. We need to pray individually. Again, let me say it again. Revival always starts with a person or a small group of people who are praying. They become sparks from which a community of Christ followers is set ablaze by the Holy Spirit. And yet, if we're honest, if we're really honest, no matter who you are, it is so easy in our world to let our busy schedules, let our distractions squash or kill our prayer lives, isn't it? We get busy, we get distracted, and it kills and squashes our prayer lives. I think many people want to pray, and they want to pray bold, risky kingdom prayers, but life just keeps going. So I got a challenge for you this morning. You ready? Here's the challenge. The challenge is, make a commitment to pray bold, risky, kingdom revival prayers for a half hour or even an hour a day. And I know what you're thinking. I could never do that. Are you kidding? No way. Half hour of prayer a day? An hour of prayer a day? No way. Okay. How many people here think running a marathon would be daunting? Okay, you that aren't putting up your hands, I'm signing you up for the Royal Victoria Marathon. Have fun with that. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the first messenger who ever ran a marathon, he was delivering a message by foot across 26.2 miles from Marathon to Athens. You know what happened to him? He died. He delivered the message and fell over dead. He probably didn't train. Of course, why you'd want to run a marathon, I have no idea. But anyway, but today we know this. With training, you all know this, you can develop stamina and strength to run great distances. I have a son. Why he does this, I have no idea. But he likes to run long distances on trails. And right now he's training for a series of races this summer that he's going to compete in that are 50 and 80K in length. Yeah, I dropped him as a child, obviously. But he's training, so he's got this training regimen, so when he wants to win these races, and he's training, so this summer he'll be able to run 50 and 80K. Now here's the thing. Likewise, the idea of praying for an extended period of time can seem daunting, can seem overwhelming. So this morning, what I want to do is give you a little training schedule. Are you ready? Simple training schedule for you to help you develop your prayer life. Here it is. Number one, first, commit to daily scheduled prayer. In the same way, a runner preparing for a marathon commits to a daily exercise regimen. If you want to do this, commit to daily scheduled prayer. Open your calendar, take your phone, whatever you use, and schedule when you will pray. Here's the thing. If you don't schedule time to pray, you'll talk about prayer, but you'll never pray. So first, get your calendar and say, I'm going to schedule when I'm going to pray. Number two, break your daily scheduled prayer time into two segments, a morning time and an evening time. So you've got your calendar, you're going to break this into two times, a morning time and an evening time. Number three, set each session for 5 minutes in length. You can pray 5 minutes in the morning, you're going to pray 5 minutes at night. I think most of us here could manage to fit that into our schedules. Schedule 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Right away, you're now praying 10 minutes a day. If you begin with something more Herculean and you are already praying, you're likely to fail, which will kill your motivation. So start easy. Just like when you're going to start running a marathon and training for that, you only run around the block when you first start. So start easy, but daily. And then build gradually. After a week of praying 5 minutes a day in the morning and night, add 5 more minutes to your prayer time. So you're going to add 2.5 minutes in the morning, 2.5 minutes at night. Now you're praying 15 minutes a day. Then you can decide to increase it weekly or bi-weekly until you get to your chosen length of time for prayer. So commit to a daily schedule. You're going to put it in your calendar. It's never going to happen. Number two, break it into two slots, morning, evening. Start each session with 5 minutes. After a week, increase it by another 5, which is 2.5. So 7.5 in the morning, 7.5 at night. And then increase it as you want until you get to your chosen time. Now, here's a fourth piece in the training schedule. There's an important piece of advice. Throw it to the next slide. Include rest days. When you train for a marathon, you're supposed to have weekly rest days, which allows your body to adjust to the strain and the stress of training. And I would suggest to you that if you're going to take this prayer challenge, that you plan a day or two each week when you don't schedule time to pray. Now, if you feel like praying during those days, of course, pray. But don't push yourself to do it out of guilt or obligation. Here's what I'm convinced. If you do this and you start praying like this and you start praying bold, risky kingdom prayers, God's going to answer and you're going to want to pray more. We need to pray individually. And so my question to us this morning as individuals, are we willing to commit to start praying bold, risky kingdom prayers? Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to pray collectively. Again, revival starts with a person or a small group of people that become smart sparks from which a community of Christ followers is set ablaze by the Holy Spirit. And when a community of Christ followers is set ablaze by the Holy Spirit, they become a spark that sets the city ablaze. Andrew Murray once wrote this. He was a pastor, theologian from bygone era. He once wrote this, so it's really good. When the church begins to unite in common purpose with a foundation built on bold prayer, then they will find uncommon power with unbelievable results. When the church begins to unite in common purpose with a foundation built on bold prayer, then they will find uncommon power with unbelievable results. Now, I know when the average person who goes to church thinks of a prayer meeting, they think of boring, right? Like, are you kidding? I've been to those. They are boring. But listen, when you read through the book of Acts and you see their prayer meetings, they were anything but boring. The Holy Spirit was poured out. People were healed. People came to know Jesus. All kinds of things happened in these prayer meetings. Why can't we have prayer meetings like they had prayer meetings? What if, like the early church, we prayed and asked God to fill us with His Spirit and with boldness? What if in our prayer meetings we asked God for His healing power to be poured out through us? What if we asked for God to empower us so we could go out and do signs and wonders through the power of Jesus' name? What if we asked God to bring heaven to earth? And what if God answered? Wouldn't those be prayer meetings you'd want to be part of? This Tuesday night, we're gathering here at this campus at 7 p.m. to pray. And as was already mentioned in the announcements, we invite you to fast beforehand, beginning at sundown on Monday until we're done our prayer time. We're asking you to fast from food if you're able. Not everybody is able. Maybe you're able to fast for 24 hours. Maybe you're able to fast for part of that time. Maybe you're not able to fast. But we're encouraging people to fast. Me personally, I'm going to do a partial fast because of where my energy is. I don't think that would be a good thing right now. Maybe you can do a partial fast. Maybe you can do a total fast. And then on Tuesday at 7, we're going to gather together to worship, to pray, and to break the fast by taking communion together. And if you choose not to fast, you are still invited, of course, to gather together with God's people to pray. And for those who choose to fast, go on sandwichbaptist.org and register, because we're going to be sending out reminders and prompts throughout the day. Let's be inspired by the early church, and let's pray as a church and as individuals. Expectant, bold, risky prayers. Here's a question for you. What bold, risky kingdom prayer do you think you need to pray to God? What bold, risky kingdom prayer do you need to pray to God? A.W. Tozer wrote this: anything God has done, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. What bold, risky kingdom prayer do you need to pray to God? Just before I close in prayer, I'm going to give you a minute this morning to do one of two things. If you know what bold, risky kingdom prayer you need to pray to God, I'm going to give you a minute to pray that prayer right now. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, I don't have a clue what bold, risky kingdom prayer I need to pray to God, I just want you to sit in silence for a minute and ask the Spirit of God just to tell you what bold, risky kingdom prayer you need to pray to God. So I'm going to give you a minute to listen to the Spirit or to pray quietly, and then I'll close in prayer, and then we'll sing together. So let's just take a minute in silence here. Father, I pray that you would do a great move in our lives. Individually and collectively, let us become people who pray. Who just don't pray regular prayers, but like the early church, pray bold, risky kingdom prayers. God, I pray as we do that, that we will see you move in powerful and mighty ways in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our city, and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just as we kind of lead through this last song, I actually invite you to stay seated. This is going to be new for a lot of us, and the song itself is just basically a prayer. I'm not sure about you guys, but some days I feel like with worship and prayer, it's really easy. Some days it's hard. Today, this morning, when we got here, it was kind of hard for me. But I think God still just meets us in that. He is faithful, he's present, and he's still just always worthy of the best that we can bring. So just in that spirit, invite you to just meditate on these words. And it's just spend some time just meditating on these words and praying together.
Let the word of Christ, my Savior, dwell in me today. May his goodness be reflected in all I do and say. Let the wisdom of my Father be the light upon my way. May his Spirit always guide me. I am willing to obey. Let the love of Jesus fill me like water fills the sea. Let my whole life be a mirror of the mercy shown to me. Let the peace of God, my Father, everything, that I might learn to trust and enjoy your sorrowing. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. He's worthy of glory, the best that I can bring. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. My life for his glory, my call and my creed. This is my prayer to the King. May I run the race before till the end. I will keep my eyes on Jesus and run the race to win. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek to win the lost. May I be a faithful servant to the message of the cross. Is my prayer to the King. He's worthy of glory, the best that I can bring. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. My life for his glory, my call and my dream. Oh, until the end, and I will keep my eyes on Jesus and run the race to win. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek to win the lost. May I be a faithful servant to the message of the cross.
Well, it's been great to be with you. Father God, thank you for being with us through your Spirit, both in this room, but also for those of you who have joined us online. Many ways to engage in prayer. I encourage you to join us on Tuesday night, to join us if you can in fasting tomorrow night. If you are in need of prayer, there will be people here at the front after the service who would love to pray with you. If you are online, maybe at home, and you just want to reach out through our website, there's a prayer tab there, and you can reach out. People will be praying for you. Yeah, we want to seek God together. If you're new here, it's been great to have you with us. Don't feel like you got to rush off after. Love to meet you. And if I could just say, probably 2 years into this whole COVID thing, we're a little unsure of if we actually know each other, and some of us probably don't. How about you just say hi? It may have been 2 years, or I may not know you. I'm so-and-so. Maybe just get to know a few people this morning before you head off. Yeah. You can also fill out the Connect cards in the chair back in front of you there if you'd like to let us know of your attendance with us. Yeah, we'd love to reach out to you. You've been so faithful in your giving and supporting of this church ministry through these 2 years. We just thank you for that. Encourage you, if you're prepared to do that again this morning, there are offering plates at the back of the auditorium or at the door as you leave. Thank you for giving that. Do that online. I just want to conclude with these words from Paul, Ephesians 3, verse 17 and 19. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today.